Okay, good morning, everyone.
Which one, the front one? Front? Front first.
Okay, good morning. We are here on Tuesday, 2016, 4391, can I see the paperwork on that? My calendar says continuation of motion for extension claim.
This is Elliot. This is what he's about to take in the claim. The one that I wanted to bring for extension.
So this is the estate of Simon Burch. I want to make sure. Okay, do our counsel make your appearances?
Alan Rose on behalf of Dennis Burch.
John Morrissey over here on behalf of Molly Simon, Allie Bernstein, Eric Bernstein, and Michael Bernstein.
Brian O'Connor, I'm our personal representative of the estate of Simon Bernstein.
Elliot Bernstein, pro se.
Okay.
Your Honor. Can I ask what standing Mr. Rose has?
I don't even know that. I'm trying to figure out what the motion is that we're on.
I think the motion is technically Elliot Bernstein's request for permission to file a late file proof of claim in this statement of claim. Right. The only thing I wanted to bring to your court's attention before we start the hearing, but it is somewhat germane, is, you know, we had a hearing last week where you ordered that nothing be said about the sale of the house, and Elliot has posted everything about the sale and the hearing, including the transcript, on the internet, and has said, be buyer beware, there should be a Liz pendants. He's directly violated your order, but it is relevant for someone who's going to be violating your orders to be considering whether to allow him to file a late filed proof of claim. But he posted a picture of Mr. Pelletto and accused him of aiding and abetting a fraud. He put my picture on the internet.
Here's the thing.
Your Honor, I didn't do any of those things,
okay, right.
Period.
So I can't, Mr. Rose, I can't let you do what you just did. It could be what you say is true, but I don't know that, and it's not set, it's not noticed,
okay.
And you just can't hand me stuff that supposedly took place outside of court and ask me to take that into consideration in this. So please try not to do that.
Okay.
And can we get that stricken from the record?
No, because my response is on the record.
Oh, okay.
That's why I did that. So I said, and don't do that.
Can I ask what standing he has?
Let me.
This is an estate case.
Maybe you can ask that, but I'm not right there.
Okay.
So, we are here to hear the following. Elliot, I'm told, filed under a date of August 22, 2014, a statement of claim through the estate of Simon Burton. Is that true?
You filed a statement of claim. Mr. O'Connell's estate, maybe he should answer the question.
So that, I'm looking at it, I'm just looking at the paperwork that I have. Is that what we're
doing?
That's
right, Your Honor. Yes, it was an audit.
All right, that's the one that we're doing. Okay, and so, yeah, it appears, I guess I'm told, that claim was filed outside the statutory time for filing the claim. Is that true?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, so Elliot has filed a motion for extension of time. Is that true? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, can I see a copy of that motion? That's what I don't have.
Are you seeking an extension of time?
Seeking it, yes.
Do we have that?
I have the statement of claim, but I don't have the motion seeking an extension of time.
It's technically paragraph 4. Right, it's in the body of the, this is what we, it's actually in the claim.
In the body of the statement of claim?
Yes, sir. Number 4?
Okay, it's number 5.
Thanks, Brian.
Check. Number 5? Number 4 says something else. Let's make sure we're on the same page. My number five says there are extenuating circumstances for this untimely claim, et cetera.
That's five or four?
Five.
I've got a different one, I guess.
You get two claims.
Oh, do you have the other claim?
You have two claims.
Oh, it's in the back. Okay.
Yeah, but
okay, yeah, yeah.
Claim?
Yep.
All right, so if I'm going to treat what we're here on today is a motion, Mr. O'Connell, what was the time cutoff date, if you know, for filing the claim?
Let me check, Your Honor, for just a second. I have the notes on
2 years.
On that. It was within the 2 year time frame, Your Honor, but pretty well after.
So this is after both the 90-day notice and the 2 year statute?
Before the 2 years.
Before the statute.
But after the 90 days.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I'm looking for my.
Do you agree with that? That's what the time frame we're in, if you understand what I'm getting at?
Okay.
There's two time frames here. You have to file your motion, you have to file your statement of claim within 90 days. But no matter what, within 2 years, getting an extension of time, which your best 2 years. So you're within the 2 years.
Correct.
Okay, so
you
just had this topic at bench tomorrow. I guess I should have paid more attention. What's the statute that deals with this?
It should be 733-702, Your Honor.
Oh, you're not? Oh, but do we need that?
Yeah.
Okay. So let him keep.
And you're going to have step three to try to bullet
right,
down.
Right, I see that here where we are. Okay. All right, so, Elliot, you're up on, so is this evidentiary to determine? Okay, so you're up on, what evidence do you want to present? If it's stipulated that the claim was not filed within 3 months after the first publication to creditors, that's true.
Correct.
Okay, all right. So, do you have the statute in front of you or know what it says?
Regarding the claim?
Regarding what we're supposed to be doing today.
Well, it's kind of not applicable. Because
the statute doesn't apply?
Well, kind of, because
well, if the statute doesn't apply, then what law applies to this?
Well, what applies is the estate document, the will, because when I filed this, we discussed with Brian that it's a debt of the estate that I paid, my children paid out of a trust fund improperly after Cy was dead. So this wasn't a bill that would normally require a creditor claim notice, etc., because it started after my father died, where the bill was shifted to my children. Okay? You following that? So here, my dad had a contract with the school, for example, that he was paying out of his bank accounts. That's established, and we can give you the evidence. It's in exhibit.
Okay.
So I'll submit that if you want.
So if your father, Simon, had an obligation, you're not talking about a debt that he owed during his lifetime that you're seeking relief here for.
No,
you're saying that this accrued after he died.
He had a contract to pay the school
for,
you know, another 7 months or whatever it was.
Okay. So the contract was initiated during his
life.
The contract
was fulfilled by him.
Continued after his death.
It was, well, that's interesting. For the contract was fulfilled 2 months after his death.
And that's where this claim arises from?
After that. When
after
they
that. After,
right.
After the contract expired?
No. Before the contract expires.
Okay.
Now, there's also a part of the expenses of our house, which also were under my dad's payment through a company. He was funding a company, an LLC, that these trusts own, the Children's Trust, and that money was supposed to be funded in with the funding when he died into the trusts and the LLC. Mr. Spallina directed the Children's Trust funds to pay these expenses of size, my father, and with no authority, told the trust to start making those payments, which it did. And he had told everybody he was going to replace and refund the money. As soon as he got the money, he didn't have liquid cash, so he just needed these trusts for a few weeks, is what we were all told. And then, obviously, things progressed badly for him. His notary got arrested. He went to the police and confessed that he altered trust documents. He's put it... Okay, but as that happened, he became... The trust funds are still being used at his direction to cover all these things that Cy was paying, that the other vehicles were to pay. And he bled the accounts to nothing, and then Oppenheimer contacted him and said, put the money back, we're out of money. And he basically said, goodbye.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay.
So let me ask this.
So it's a debt under the will.
All right. So since we have for the estate here, what's going on? What's your version of what's going on?
Hey, I think you have to sort of divide this into two parts, the issues at least. And I did do a petition on this. Your Honor, it's really a two-parter, and I did do a petition that dealt with this. If you maybe want to take a look at it, it's a petition for instructions. I think that kind of brings the issues together here. So let me hand you this. I'll let you take a look at that first.
So we have two statement of claims for today. Let me read. So what is the position of the PR, we'll take this one at a time, on Elliot's position that after his father died, he and or his family made a payment or payments pursuant to a school contract that the decedent had entered into with the school that obligated him, the decedent, to make payments. And so in order to fulfill that contract, Elliot and or his children made those payments.
Right, to the extent it's a contract during lifetime, there should be a claim, which Elliot did file because he's trying to enforce a contract that a decedent was obligated to perform. So if you analyze that part of it.
The theory here is that the will states that if a friend or a family member pays a debt and or funeral expense or cost of administration, they get reimbursed. So Elliot is saying that this was a contract debt that the estate had, because when Cy Bernstein died, his estate would then be responsible for this contract?
Correct, Your Honor, but the missing link is having an enforceable claim for that debt. That's where I have an issue as the PR.
Well, let me ask you, if the contract with the school was between Simon Bernstein and the school, is that true?
True.
Okay. And
from what I've...
Okay, and if when Simon died, the obligation to fulfill that contract falls on his estate, is that true?
It could, I think, if there was a claim, which there is.
Well, I mean, but, so could the school have enforced that contract?
If they're a party to it, sure.
Okay, so and that action would be between the school and the estate of Simon Bernstein?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now someone says, we see what that obligation is, and we pay that obligation in behalf of the estate. So is that a debt that falls within his will, or is that a claim that falls within the statute?
Or, in the way I've been looking at it, to have an enforceable debt, you would have to have a claim for that debt. Because otherwise, it's so wide open from a fiduciary standpoint, sort of where do you stop?
And you need to have some boundaries. So because funeral expenses, if someone pays them, they obviously pay them after he's dead.
Correct.
They still have to file a claim. Cost of administration, you still have to file a claim. And so you're saying debts fall into that same category.
At least, I think cost of administration, you wouldn't have to file a claim. But a debt, a pre-death obligation, that's where I'm drawing the
line. Well, this is a pre-death obligation with a post-death payment.
Right, and that's where I know he's articulated, I guess, a second theory that I've sort of put in there, that the PRs at the time told him to do something.
Well, we haven't got to that point.
Right, that to me is another issue. But no, I think you've got my position, Judge, on
so what,
part
one. So what is the position
one.
Of the estate?
But there needs to be a claim. There is a claim, but then the claim needs to have an extension of time approved.
Okay. All right, so does the estate oppose the extension of time? The claim has now been filed, and if I give an extension of time, then I deem the claim to be timely filed.
I won't oppose it if the evidence is put on that I've had proffered to me by Elliot, basically, that says he was defrauded by the former personal representative.
Well, I'm talking about the debt for the school first now.
Right, but that's how I'm, because I think that's part of the process, just he has to put on some evidence to say, I was told to do this by the personal representative.
I don't want Mr. O'Connell to feed what evidence Elliot should present today.
But if I ask, that's not grounds to object, sorry. Okay, good try.
Because I'm going back to sub 3 of the statute. That's my prong.
Okay, so the first threshold issue is whether whatever we call it, you still have to comply with the claim statute. Okay, so that's a legal argument, correct?
Right. And evidence.
Well, no, whether you have to, no.
Oh, sorry.
And because if it's, you know, I mean, if it's something other than a claim and you don't have to go through the claim statute, that is, if there's some exception and one can get, you know, if somebody after Simon's death paid his credit card, that would be paying off Simon's debt, and they say, if I pay a debt, reimburse me, right? That could be. You have to make a claim for that?
Yes, you would, because.
Right. So, Elliot, what's your legal position on whether there's some exception in the statutes that make it that you don't have to file a claim for what you're seeking here? Do you have one? Hold on a second.
Okay, were you asking why we were late filing the claim?
No, we're not there yet.
Oh, okay.
If you can see legally now that for the subject matters that you're dealing with, you have to file claims, if there's no exception to going through the claim process, we can go to the next step.
Okay, I filed the claim.
Okay, you agree with that. All right, so now, because it's conceded that you filed the claim late for both the things that you're seeking to be able to have your claim dealt with, which I'll call the school debt and the household expense debts. Okay, so everyone knows. You, I can grant you an extension of time on grounds that you didn't file more timely because of fraud, estoppel, or insufficient notice of the claims period. That's what the statute says.
Right. Okay.
So here's my question. You're requesting that relief, correct, extension of time?
Correct.
Okay. And in behalf of the estate, what's your position on the extension of time?
We need to hear evidence to fit that prong of the statute, right, Your Honor, on the fraud or estoppel.
Okay. All right. And as far as you, Mr. Rose, and you, Mr. Morrissey, do you have standing to participate when the estate is here in behalf of Simon's estate?
Absolutely. I represent, at this moment, Ted Mernstein, who's the successor trustee of the estate. He's the sole beneficiary of the estate under the will of Simon Bernstein. He leaves his residuary estate to his trust. So we are an interested person. I think I have standing. And, you know, we contest the basis of the claim and the grounds for the extension.
Sorry. Okay, so, and Mr. Morrison, you say you have standing because you represent the beneficiaries?
Yes, Judge, I represent for the beneficiaries of the trust. They are interested because they will ultimately be affected by the outcome of this proceeding. And there is
So show me the case law that says that.
Okay. There's the.
That even though the PR is here to participate, you're entitled to also participate as in the capacity that you are, which is beneficiary of the trust.
Yes, and I have a case on point here, Judge. It's the estate of Cyrus Lewis, 411 Southern 2nd, 368.
Okay, show it to them.
And that's a case out of the 4th District. And that was a case where the wife was declared to have standing. She was the beneficiary of a trust. The court said, I'm looking at page 2 here, in order to have sufficient interest in standing, the contestant must have some...
Okay, you don't have this highlighted, so I don't know where I'm looking.
Okay.
Sorry. Where are you looking on page 2?
Okay. I do have a highlighted version. Do you want me to just
give that to your honor? Yeah, we like highlights.
Let you read that.
Okay. Let me read the highlighted portion.
Okay.
Okay, so the test seems to be, will your clients benefit if your clients successfully prevail on the matter that Elliot is seeking, correct?
Correct.
So, Elliot's trying to have a claim paid. If you can't do that, that technically would leave more money in the estate that when it gets paid to the trust, you're saying your clients would benefit by having more money.
Correct. No claim paid.
Or theory materials for understanding?
Yes.
Except he's a beneficiary. Are you a beneficiary or a trustee?
As trustee, the trust is the sole beneficiary of the estate.
Okay, so you're not, Mr. Morrissey, you're not even the beneficiary of Simon's will. You're beneficiary of the trust that Simon's will has created down the road a little bit more, true?
Pour over into the trust. My clients are the trust beneficiaries.
So both the trustee and the beneficiaries of the trust are standing? Mr. O'Connell? You're the PR for this.
Sure. Mr. Rose absolutely does. To the extent, and this isn't conceding as an argument of whether Ted's the trustee, but for now he's here
and so forth. Exactly.
So let's don't get to that.
Okay,
so
I think Mr. Morrissey's clients.
I don't believe he does because he's that next step removed as the court's indicating. You know, that's what the trustee is for, a trustee is for.
Yeah. As a trustee is the real party in interest for the trust. I mean, if a trust has 1,000 beneficiaries, you don't, you know, the 1,000 beneficiaries don't participate, the trustee does for them.
Judge, I don't have a copy of the transcript from the first hearing we had with respect to this, but and counsel can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that Your Honor ruled that for purposes of this hearing, you were going to let us all argue today. Was
okay.
That
you know? I mean, so if you ask me, do I remember that? I don't.
What I'm saying is that's my recollection, and I'd like counsel to.
Right. I think we went through somewhat a similar dialogue, Your Honor. You said in the interest of time and economy.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe legal argument, I might not mind. Right. Okay. Let's get to the heart of it. Elliot, raise your right hand. Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Put on your proof that you need to be able to support late filing of the claims. You can do it separately because you have two claims, or you can.
Yeah. I'll just merge them. Yeah, same thing. Okay, on the school one, can I introduce into evidence the exhibits on the pleading? I think everybody has a copy. What?
Exhibits on the pleading. This is on the statement of claim?
Yeah, both of them.
There's exhibit one attached. Is that the one you want to do, or exhibit? I see the exhibits. Which one do you want to do?
Okay, hold on. Exhibit one, we can start with, but I'm going to exhibit them all. Right, exhibit one is all of those documents.
Okay, any objection to exhibit one for this hearing?
Not done.
All right, in evidence, number one for Elliot. Go ahead.
Okay, and on the first page, you'll notice that this is a fax management company email to Rachel Walker.
All right, hold on. We're looking at something different.
Oh, look at the other pleading.
The exhibit looks like an email.
No, look at the other pleading, the second one. There's two filings. Do you have both of them?
No, I only have one statement of claim. Sorry.
Oh, hold on. You want to make a copy of this one?
That is for children's expenses.
Yeah. No, he's going to bring this over.
I do want to use this.
What? We can add this. Yeah. I don't.
And this other statement of claim of the same day.
What?
Is for debts paid to the school. Okay. All right. So you're not talking about the exhibit one from the statement of claim dealing with the St. Andrew School or the other one?
Yeah, St. Andrew School.
Okay, all right. So
the first exhibit.
As exhibit two.
Is that the first?
It says exhibit two is evidence of Simon paying 2012-2013 contract and St. Andrew's payments paid post-mortem by Elliot Schroeder.
Is it the facts?
Well, it's a whole exhibit.
Okay. Oh, okay, yeah. You're exhibiting all that as evidence? Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, and can we admit?
All right, so I have two exhibits so far.
Okay. I would like to admit that. Do you have a copy for anybody?
I have one for you.
One for me and the judge?
Yeah.
Okay, can we make one more copy of that?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Do they have it? Well, it's part of the
Do you all have copies of these exhibits?
No.
Here.
Well, they have copies of.
Hold on. This is number one and number two.
They have copies of the pleading exhibits. They were served them.
There's one. Then make a copy of the actual claims. All right, let's wait a second. We'll get some copies.
Thanks.
But continue arguing, though. I can see how far I can hear. Okay.
Okay, our argument's. It's going to be that these documents support the contention that Simon Bernstein was the payer of these school funds for the first instance.
Okay.
And that he was then, that those payments were then directed by the former PRs, Tesher and Spolina, with no authority to be paid by trusts, which they had no dealings with, weren't trustees.
Okay, so tell me how you know about that.
It's in evidences.
You tell me.
Oh, okay. So what happened was this actually starts with, we were told, Candace, to start writing checks out of a company account.
Told by who?
By Robert Spleen and Rachel Walker. Excuse me?
Go ahead, you continue.
Okay. And so they told us that all this was being paid out. Let me just start at the beginning. My father dies. He set up new trust for my kids, okay, which we still don't have. But nonetheless, there's an LLC that he had set up that was paying the bills, that was being funded by him.
The bills meaning the school expenses and the
home expenses. Both, correct, okay. Both. And then what happened was, after he died for 2 months, this legacy bank account for Bernstein Family Realty LLC that my dad's the only signer on was being used by Rachel Walker.
Who's Rachel Walker?
She was my dad and mom's assistant. Okay. She gets fired. She calls us and tells us Spallina and Tesher told her to bring the accounts over to Candace, which she did.
Who's Candace?
My wife, Candace Bernstein. And they tell us to start writing checks out of this account.
Who's they?
Spallina and Tesher and Rachel.
Okay.
I said to Candace, I don't think we should be writing any checks without contacting Legacy and making sure this is legal. Rachel agreed. Rachel said she had authority.
Yeah, keep it going.
Okay, she said she had authority.
No, skip that part. Go ahead.
Okay.
For the record, your ruling is Tesher and Spallina are...
They wrote the PRs.
Correct, so they would be admission. Hearsay of them is fine, but other people are not. That's fine, sir. Thank you.
Keep on going.
Okay, so I'm confused. Okay.
You're okay. Keep on going.
Okay, so we're told to start writing checks out of this account.
Okay.
We contact Legacy Bank. Legacy Bank checks Rachel's statement that she had been authorized to use the accounts, which she was using for several months, and they said absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah, sustained on that objection. Go ahead.
Okay. So Legacy Bank tells me.
Objection hearsay.
Okay.
Why, they told me.
You have a conversation with Legacy. Don't tell me what the conversation was, but based upon that, what happened?
The accounts were frozen.
Okay.
Because Simon Bernstein was dead.
Okay.
And they shouldn't be authorized. There was no other signer on the account.
Accounts are frozen. Go ahead.
Okay. And so Spallina then directs, we're told the PR must call, that nobody notified the bank that one of their clients was dead.
Spallina does what?
Spallina then contacts Legacy. He arranges for money that's in the account to be transferred to Oppenheimer. Okay. Oppenheimer sets up a new Bernstein Family Realty LLC account, which we don't know how Robert Spallina, who's not the man. But we don't know how he did any of this.
Okay.
I mean, he wasn't authorized on these trusts. He didn't create these trusts. They were pre-funded before he existed.
You're arguing in your testimony. Keep up.
Okay. So he then the fund is being used, whatever was in there. We asked for accountings from Legacy. We don't get any. To see what was in that account prior to my dad's dying, because maybe there was $10 million in there. And then Spallina tells Janet Craig of Oppenheimer to start using these children's college education funds to pay, because the legacy account had run out of money a few weeks after he opened this new account. He had no authority to direct her to use these accounts. Has nothing to do with those trusts. Oppenheimer and Spallina then work out to start using these trusts. Spallina states to everybody, us and Oppenheimer, that I'm just going to use them for a minute, and then I'm going to replenish them as soon as I get liquid funds. You know, I think he said there was a creditor against the estate, so he didn't have liquid funds. And so that was his reason and rationale to use these college funds. And then as time went on, Spallina obviously got in trouble with his firm forging and frauding documents. And I had filed some things that they were extorting us using these funds. They were going to bleed out our college, our children's college funds. I filed all that with the court. And what they were doing was keeping us from getting any funds that were supposed to fund these vehicles, the LLC that was funding all of the expenses, and bleed out the kids' school trust funds and leave us with nothing except to come give them implied consent and take some fraudulent money, which you know we haven't done and we're not going to do. Gets down to the wire. Janet Craig contacts Spallina in an email that we've submitted.
Hold on.
What? Right. Let me finish this. What do you need? Do you have both our pleadings?
Okay, keep on going.
Okay, so it gets close to the end of the funds. Oppenheimer contacts Spallina and says, replace the funds. He says no. Oppenheimer tells us, basically, they're going to side with us. And all of a sudden, they try to make us the trustees and do all this instead of going after Spallina for the money he had told them he was reimbursing them for. Obviously, he's built. Oh, and there's even some evidence we're going to submit today.
Keep going.
Okay, so Spallina and Tesher refuse. Craig tries to then end the trust and terminate them without getting the money back that she was supposed to, leaving my kids without going to college right now. Right.
Okay, so the money that, if I can understand you, the money that's the basis for the claim is money that was taken out of accounts of yours or your children's?
Trusts that my dad set up in 2006.
Okay. So, let me ask you this, Mr. O'Connell. Is Mr. Bernstein, Elliot Bernstein, and or these trusts, the trustees, are they served with notice of administration?
There's been no notice of administration in my father's.
You don't speak to him.
Oh, sorry.
I believe they were, Your Honor.
So, to implement 733.702.
Did you mean notice to creditors,
Your
Honor? Yeah.
Because I thought you said notice to administration.
I'm sorry, I meant a notice of creditors.
I don't
did
believe
they get a copy of the notice of creditor?
I don't believe they did.
Okay, what's your position on whether they should have?
Well, there's, I don't know what was in the minds of the former personal representatives, but even if they should have, I still think we're doing the, you're in the right proceeding.
Well, we may be doing it, but I still want to know if they got notice, because if they got notice, actual notice, that's one thing they didn't. Because the file would show proof of service. I mean, is that, has anyone seen proof of service? And I'll ask this to Mr. Rose and Mr. Morrissey. Have you seen in the file proof of service of the notice to creditors to Elliot or the trust?
Whatever in the court file.
Okay, so if you don't have it, I'm assuming it's not there.
Or the school, Your Honor.
No, the school is not. I'm not going to the school. Okay, all right, so when is it that you find out, Elliot, that the monies
which
that
state?
You're told were going to get paid by the estate doesn't get paid?
Oh.
Okay. We received production from Spallina and Tesher.
No, from Ben Brown.
Or from Ben Brown, excuse me. He received it from Tesher and Spallina. This, after, you know, I don't know what date I got to those documents in the stack, but that's when we discover these documents we're submitting to. You could see most of them are bait stamps with their number, showing that these were obligations of Simon. See, we were told by Spallina and Tesher that this was our obligation, that we were under the obligation to pay the school. which is incorrect. He, in fact, he didn't tell us the money was coming out of a J.P. Morgan account to fund an LLLP or something.
Okay. All right, I got it.
Okay, so we didn't know till after production.
So then you filed your statement of claim once you realized what was going on?
A few days after I
saw
it.
Okay. Okay, hold on. Do you have questions of Elliot?
I don't, Your Honor.
Okay, do you have questions of
yes.
Elliot?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you sit in the
witness? Yeah, you sit in the witness.
Don't give me those.
I need, okay.
You can take what documents you want.
Okay, you want those?
No, I'm going to raise my hand again. I swear to
you. Okay.
Do you have, I think, is Exhibit 1 in front of you, Your Honor?
I do.
Okay.
Exhibit 1, 2, go. I have two exhibits. I have Exhibit 1 and Exhibit 2. Exhibit 1 is on the household expenses that the claim is.
I think I have exhibit number 1.
Exhibit 1 is called Oppenheimer Statement of Household Expenses Reimbursable by the Simon Burson Estate and Trust and Other Evidence.
Yes, I think so. The second page of exhibit 1. I don't think that's the right document, Mr. Bernstein. Okay. If you look at the bottom of on page 2 of exhibit 1, at the bottom, do you see the email that's from Janet Craig to Robert Spallina?
Dated July 16, 2013.
Correct.
Yes, Robert Elliott, Janet.
Okay. You see that email, you got a copy of that email, correct?
I believe so.
And your wife got a copy of the email, correct?
I believe so.
And the date of that email is July 16, 2013, correct?
Correct.
That's more than 1 year before you filed this claim in this estate, is that true?
Correct.
Okay, and if you look at the second page of that, do you see discussion that about this issue, that the funds that you are claiming should have been paid by Simon Bernstein were being paid by Oppenheimer Trust Company? Do you see that?
Because they were frozen. And remember, we were told at this time that these were our bills. We weren't told that there was a contract with Simon to pay the bill, so it's irrelevant what you're saying. I mean, we were under the impression.
Mr. Bernstein, I'm the one who decided.
Oh, sorry. It doesn't appear relevant to me. That's right. Okay.
You're okay with what you were saying?
I got it. I got you. Sorry. So we didn't. We at this point were told that these were our bills. And we had no notice that they weren't our bills. And as you can see...
Okay, you answered. Okay. Next question.
But you were aware of this issue, though, that monies were being paid by Oppenheimer as early as July of 2013, correct?
We were aware of it as soon as they started taking the money.
Okay. Did you have an oral contract with your father of any kind?
We had agreements that he was paying me. Bills, we actually have some contracts that said he was paying our bills, the schools, etc. He had been paying them for several years, since even before my mother. So they had been paying these their whole life, and they intended it to be paid and funded after death through the complicated and sophisticated estate plans that they set up for the children. The LLC, the trust, the multiple trusts, the LLP funding an LLC, etc.
Keep on going.
Your father, in fact, left no money to fund an LLC. Is that true?
We don't know that. We're trying to get the accountings.
What?
The accountings have been produced.
You've seen the will that's been filed in the trust that of your father that leaves all the money to his 10 grandchildren, correct?
Well, we've disputed that, and we've disputed, and Brian O'Connell's also stated that Ted's not a valid trustee to serve under this trust, and the trusts have been deemed by the Florida Governor Rick Scott's Notary Public Division to have been improperly notarized. And this goes with the Oppenheimer document.
You're departing from my issue.
Oh, which is?
Okay.
Okay.
George, next question, clean question, please.
Okay. You knew about the fact that your father's trust did not provide for the limited fund, the BFR, Bernstein Family Realty, or any other vehicle for you. You've known about that since shortly after your father died, correct?
No.
Next question.
When did you first learn that the trust that is purported to be your father's final trust agreement did not leave anything for these vehicles.
I'm not sure I know that yet. I have to validate the trust, see if these are, or we're going back to a different trust.
Next question.
Okay. My question, though, is when did you first learn it was a possibility that your father didn't leave any money to pay for these expenses?
I haven't learned that yet. I'm in the process of investigating quite a few fraudulent documents.
Did these bills that are for the school, did you ever call the school after your father's death to find out who was responsible to make these payments?
Yes or no?
I don't believe so.
This is the school you took your kids to every day, correct?
Correct.
And you knew where the billing office was?
Correct.
If there was any doubt in your mind of who should be paying these expenses, you could have gone to the school to obtain the records?
They were being paid by, after my father died for several months, by Rachel Walker.
And after Rachel Walker stopped paying the bills, did the school ever file a claim against your father? Or
no,
there's
Spallina Direct, actually the school and
that. Listen to the question.
One more time on the question.
Did the school ever file a claim or make demand in this estate?
Well, they made demand for payments, and the accounts were frozen, so Mr. Spallina then directed the payments come from my school, my children's trust, not from anybody else. So St. Andrews was satisfied with the fact that, you know, through this fraud, they were being paid. That only they knew that there was a fraud.
Could your father have stopped paying for your children's school at any time he chose?
I don't know.
And if your father stopped paying for the school, then your children would have to leave the school and go to a public school, correct?
No, we were anticipating to get our inheritance at some point.
And your inheritance was what you were going to use to pay for the school?
We don't know. We're looking at documents. There's documents of Bernstein Family Investments, LLP, the Bernstein Family Realty. All those documents talk about...
Mr. Rose, next question.
And you're unhappy that Oppenheimer used your children's trust funds to pay for your children to go to St. Andrew's School, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you wanted your children to go to St. Andrew's School, correct?
My parents did.
Did you also?
Not particularly.
Okay. And
they bought a house on St. Andrew's back.
Sir?
Stop, so they obviously wanted them to go there.
Go ahead.
But you didn't particularly care if your children went to St. Andrew's School. And your father could have stopped paying for the school at any time he chose, right?
Well, he had set up plans to take care of paying for school.
Okay. So.
That are being destroyed.
Isn't it your claim that Oppenheimer should not have made these payments that Oppenheimer made, correct?
Well, Oppenheimer had no legal standing that we can find to accept Spallina's direction of them to pay funds.
And Oppenheimer hasn't filed a claim in this estate that you're aware of, correct?
That's what they led us to believe they were going to do, and then they switch hit and tried to give it all to Ted, and tried to make Ted trustee of my kid's trust, and Ted, while we were having him investigated by the sheriff, as you know, you attended with Ted the sheriff, so... During all that, Oppenheimer's trying to turn all this over to Ted. And then instead of Ted accepting it, even though they thought he had accepted after giving all the confidential information to Ted of the trust and what's going on in our life and the manager position of Bernstein Family Realty, LLC, Ted then said after making payments and acting like manager of Bernstein Family Realty that he wasn't. And so, you know, our belief is that Oppenheimer, and it should be noted that Oppenheimer, these funds came from Stanford, Sir Alan Stanford, the Ponzi schemer, second biggest Ponzi schemer in the world. And that the agents who are transacting these transactions are the people who, several of them are under investigation in the federal court right now, for their actions in defrauding people. Those agents left Stanford, went to Oppenheimer with these trusts, and obviously you're aware, I'm sure, that those trusts are also not legally executed, and I have found the coach around her, that trusts have to be signed and executed and have signature pages on them. And so we follow this pattern of fraud and practice of fraud, And then they go to J.P. Morgan, where there's supposed to be a lot more accounts of my father's that appear missing. They say they're in limbo. Mr. Holmes, president of Oppenheimer Trust Company. And we're still trying to determine what exactly is going on. But we believe that Oppenheimer's agents are part of this Ponzi fraud, following this Ponzi money, trying to bury it, etc.
May I approach you on with the next exhibit?
Yep.
I'll have a highlighted copy on the waiver. Is it 5 or 6?
Yes, I think it's 3.
3, okay. And exhibit number 3. Is this an email that you sent December 5th, 2013?
I believe so.
Okay. And that's eight months or so or more before you filed the statement claim in this case, correct?
Still didn't know that.
No.
Oh, just listen. Yes.
Okay. Now, is it your position that whatever your children inherit should be used to replenish the Oppenheimer Trust funds?
No. Now we're going to ask that the people who committed the fraud replenish them all.
But you want your school expenses to be paid from the general estate of Simon Bernstein before it's distributed to whoever the beneficiaries
These bills that Cy had a contract with. And that he was obligated to pay. Yes.
Okay. You wanted to come off the top?
He said yes.
Okay. Now, isn't it, if you read this email, this is December 2013, you say in the second sentence that you are well aware these expenses have been paid through Bernstein Family Realty LLC by Rachel Walker and then Oppenheimer since my father died. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. So you were aware of who had paid the money as early as December 2013?
Yes.
Okay. Now, isn't Oppenheimer the manager of Bernstein Family Realty?
Well, we've contested that they had no right to become manager. They self-anointed themselves in violation of the LLC contract, which says that the members, which are my three children, have to make a vote. They never had that vote. Oppenheimer committing more fraud definitely fraudulently asserted themselves into this as managers. They weren't managers prior. My father was the manager up till the day he died. Then there's supposed to be an election of who the manager is by the three members, which are my three children. That never took place. Oppenheimer self-aggrandized themselves somehow to be that.
I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of issues with Oppenheimer and claims against them, but we're not here to talk about. We're talking about the claims you might have against this estate. So if you continue reading...
What has to do with Oppenheimer?
Well, if you continue...
Oh, yeah.
If you continue reading, it says that, and were paid for, this I'm in the same second sentence, these expenses were paid for 6 years prior by my father and mother while they were alive. You see that?
Yes.
Okay. Then it says, these expenses for our family's living expenses were to be paid for through my family's inheritance monies when my mother and father died. You see that?
Yes.
So isn't that you saying that this money is supposed to come from your children's portion of the trust whenever it's distributed, and not from the portion that other people would benefit from?
One more time on the question.
Isn't this you saying that these payments should be made from your children's inheritance, not from any inheritance of any other beneficiary?
Well, no. If there were expenses of my dad's that he was supposed to take care of, like the contract for the school, then yeah, that comes off the top. And if the other expenses were told to be being paid for by the estate and be reimbursed to the trust of my children, then, you know, it's the trust of, it would come off the top before any beneficiaries were paid.
Did you in fact request that Oppenheimer make disbursements for the benefit of your children?
No. I was directed to do that by Mr. Spallina and Mr. Tesher.
So the answer is yes, you did make a request, but you're blaming the reason you made the request on Tesher and Spallina?
Yeah, I didn't even know these people.
Okay.
So I was directed, as Oppenheimer was, to use these funds by Mr. Spallina. I think the evidence here will show that.
Although there are some bills that St. Andrew sent to your father, do you have any evidence that your father signed a contract obligating himself to pay St. Andrew's if, for example, he changed his mind and said, I no longer want to pay for your kid's school?
We've requested those contracts. We haven't got them yet.
Do you have any evidence today to show the court that
Simon Bernstein had an actual contract with St. Andrew's School.
We have that he was responsible for the payments of those, of the school contract. I mean, we're being withheld documents. We're still being withheld documents. So we're going to get to that issue of those frauds in a minute.
In all this time, you've never contacted the school or asked them to give you copies of contracts between...
They won't. They'll give them to the estate, but the estate never made that call.
Did you ever ask Mr. O'Connell to get statements from the school before you filed your statement?
No, I asked Mr. Spolina, et cetera, to get the contracts.
Did you ask...
Well, I did. I think so, Brian, that he could get the contracts.
Did you ever ask Ben Brown to get documents for you from the St. Andrew's school?
I asked Ben Brown.
You need to wrap it up.
That's fine, sir. When was the first time what did Mr. Spolina tell you that you think was a fraud in connection with whether or not you should file a claim in this estate?
He never notified us of a claim, and I don't think they ever filed letters of administration in this case. Is that correct, Your Honor? Do you see him?
Come on. You can't ask me questions.
Oh, okay. Can we look at the record?
we're here at the evidentiary portion. I want to find out what he did with his fraud.
The evidence. That was a fair question. That goes to the heart of the issue.
Okay, what was the question?
I can do it. Can you tell us exactly what fraud Mr. Spolina did, what he said to you that was fraudulent or false about you filing a claim in this estate?
He told us these were our bills and we had to pay them, and that there was no money in the inheritance at this point, no liquid assets, and that he wanted to use my children's trust funds and authorize that use. I believe that's fraud because he had no authority to use those trust funds or direct payment from those trust funds.
But he told you that they would be repaid from your portion of the inheritance, not as a general obligation of the state, correct?
I thought I don't have a portion of the inheritance, according to your story.
Your children's portion.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And he never said to you this would be paid off the top as a general expense of the estate, correct?
No.
Go ahead. He answered.
She answered first, but...
Sorry.
Wrap it up.
Nothing further.
Any questions? Mr. Bob, any questions?
No, sir.
Okay, Ellie, you want to say something in response? Which I've covered already.
Do you have that? Did we submit that? We did put in evidence.
Okay, Elliot, come on. Anything else? No,
we've submitted all into evidence.
All right. Okay. Argument. Now that you've heard testimony, what is the position of the estate, Mr. O'Connell?
Your Honor, that whether or not, I think we have to hear, or of course, going to have to determine whether or not there's sufficient evidence of there being a fraud to be the exception, or an estoppel to be an exception.
Well, Elliot's testimony is that he was told by the PR, the person who was, you know, your predecessor, you know, that this was not an obligation of the estate, and that it was an obligation of his side of the ledger, meaning his children's, and that it had to get paid from the trust and wasn't an obligation of the estate. And he said that's why he didn't make a claim against the estate, because the PR, quote, the horse's mouth, told him don't do that. That's the essence of what his position is. And it was only after time passed that he was able to figure out that it is an obligation of the estate, and that's when he made the claim. So you're the PR. Does that fall within the statutory exception?
What would it? The court finds the evidence is credible, unrebutted, and so forth, which I don't want to be the finder of a fact on that.
No, okay. All right. Okay, I got your position. Mr. Rose? I'm doubtful.
Yeah, I don't believe that he's alleged fraud against the estate. He's
fraud and or misrepresentation falls in the same category. If the PR, who really is the person that others can rely upon, tell others this is not, you know, who might want to file a timely claim if they ever got notice, don't do it because it's not an obligation of the estate, it's your obligation, and that turns out not to be true, and once the creditor, Mr. Bergstein in this case, finds out it's not true, they file a claim, the question is the late filing excused because of the misrepresentation of the prior PR, which Elliot says took place and appears unrebutted?
Oh, it is rebutted, because if it's rebutted even in these documents. If you look at the documents, I mean, this is what he was told, what's in it, that exhibit one, and he wrote in exhibit three, which I put in, this is Elliot's words, he knows what the deal is, that there's no liquidity in the Simon Bernstein estate or trust, so for whatever reason, and maybe he has a claim against Oppenheimer, which has not filed a claim in this.
I'm looking at three.
Yeah.
So tell me where in there is his testimony that Spallina told him not to pursue, or that these bills were not the obligation of the estate, and so that would mean a reason why he would not make a claim.
Okay.
Where does it say that he knew that, so therefore he should have filed his claim earlier?
Well, he says in the second or third sentence, these expenses for our family's living expenses were to be paid for through my family's inheritance monies. He's talking about his father was supposed to to have set up and funded something to pay his children's expenses. That's what he's saying.
Okay, let me read this more carefully.
Yeah.
Your Honor, that would... Okay.
Read your email more.
Sorry.
Carefully.
Right. That evidence is our point. Oh,
that evidence is our point. That we thought they were our expenses that come from the inheritance. Right.
Well, doesn't this letter, this email, where Elliot says that the expenses are to come from his family's inheritance? That's because that's what Spallina told him. And that not telling him that they were not the responsibility of the estate to pay, that's what Elliot is saying all along. That was the statement. And Elliot is now repeating that in this December letter now to Oppenheimer, because that's the information that he has, that the these expenses are going to be paid through the next level, which is his family's share of the estate. So, but Elliot, and so the issue though is, if Elliot was told something differently by the PR, was told, for example, that these are obligations that may be obligations of the estate, but we're not going to pay it, or something else, then I think the time frame for Elliot to pay, you know, to make a claim against the estate would be appropriate. But as I read this, there's nothing here to indicate that he had any idea that these monies were monies that should have been paid from the estate, because he's been told differently by Spallina. And he's writing that as if he doesn't know that they are obligations of the estate. I'm not ruling that they are like that, but that's his case. And he files the claim at a time when he comes to a conclusion that they really were obligations of the estate, maybe.
And then if that's, but even that ruling would only apply to one thing that's in front of you, which is the payments to the school for 2012 through 2013, because that's what they've demonstrated you Simon had agreed to do. Obviously, Simon didn't agree to pay the expenses of 2013 and 2014. Or,
well, he doesn't. And Elliot's exhibit number two, Elliot, which is Elliot's exhibit, says evidence of Simon paying 2012-13 contract.
Right, let me say the claim would be limited to that first of all, and there's no evidence of any agreement or of paying someone's living expenses post-death. So if you were going to allow a claim under the grounds you've articulated without agreeing, you know, waiving any issues we have with it, it would be solely limited to the one item that's been presented, which is the 2012-2013 bill for St. Andrews, and then obviously everyone can, it's without prejudice to objections to the claim and someone litigating the issue.
Let me take a look at the address for a second. So the email from Janet Craig.
Simon Bernstein.
Elliot, something new with this.
Yeah.
So this email from Janice Craig clearly puts, from Oppenheimer's point of view, Elliot on notice that Simon had been paying the household expenses for him and Candace, that when Simon died, Simon's funds were frozen, and the only funds available to pay household expenses were the educational trust fund set up by Simon. That suggests that there were some post-mortem obligations of Simon to pay Elliot and Candace's household expenses, but they were trying to find from where the money would come. And so they told Elliot it's to come from these education trusts, and now they have a discussion about that. And then she says, please let me know if the estate of Simon is going to reimburse the education trust, which Elliot testified was what he was told by Spallina would happen because the estate wasn't paying them right away because of liquidity problems, he testified, and that the children's educational funds would advance this, because the paragraph here says, when it says, please let me know as soon as possible if the estate intends to reimburse the educational trust for the household expenses paid to date. Those are expenses that were after Simon died, and she wouldn't have written that unless there was an obligation from her point of view for the estate to pay that. Otherwise it would not make sense, and then there's a dialogue on that. Okay,
but,
I got it.
See, okay. And Oppenheimer would be the one to have brought a claim, because they're the ones, as trustees, that, you know, Elliot has not paid any of this money out of his own pocket.
The question is the merit of the claim or the scope necessarily of the claim, but it's the timeliness of it. Okay, so I'm ruling that the claims are timely filed.
And in fact, that's a, the deed filed as of today, so our objection period started.
So the extension of time is granted. They've already been filed, so I'll deem them to be filed as of today. So your claims are in.
Thank you.
And one last thing, Your Honor. I got Mr. Morrissey's argument why he had standing. I didn't understand how Mr. Rose, the trust, has standing.
Yes, no, the argument was Rose clearly has standing.
Okay, you think so? Okay. Okay.
Because he represents trust. All right, so the claim is in now, Mr. O'Connell.
Right.
Okay, and whose obligation is it to process those claims?
I think what I was going to suggest is we could do an order, Your Honor, so it's clear, you have extension for time has been granted,
right.
The claims are deemed filed. So we set up an objection period, because
right.
I know there's going
to
be objection.
Okay, so how much time to object?
Under the statute, it's 30 days.
Okay.
So I think
right.
we just follow the...
30 days is reasonable.
We just follow the statute.
Okay, so but let me ask you, who can file objections?
Interested persons. Which
okay, so the estate can file
an objection.
And then Mr. Rose can... Okay.
Or whoever the trustee
well,
is.
Well, I'm not sure about Mr. Morrissey yet to file, but I'll let you do it, at least as a starting point. You know, I mean, but here's the thing I want the three of you to do. Either file objections, or if you deem that the claim or a portion of it appears to be valid, say so as well. So I can get a picture of where everyone stands, and then give Elliot notice of that. Okay, because it might be that on your side, the side dealing with the state and the trust, yeah, I need to see whether you folks are on the same page or not. Okay, maybe you're on different pages. Okay, that's my rule.
Thank you. May I have the honor of just a proposed order from the hearing last week? Take under consideration here.
No.
It has absolutely.
I'd like to see. What are you talking about?
I emailed Mr.
These sharp practices.
I emailed Mr. Burns yesterday with a copy of the transcript, and the transcript is now on the internet. The transcript of our hearing is on the internet.
Let me see the order. I'm talking about.
This was on the sale of the house.
I have this right now in an oral pronouncement position. I want to put this in an order position.
Okay.
And so let me take a look at this. Okay. Did you see the copy of it?
My associate's been handling this because I was out of town last week, and I don't know if Mr. Rose and her conferred or not.
Did she look at this?
I emailed everybody on, I think, Friday. I heard no comments.
I haven't seen that, Your Honor.
He emailed it to you.
What?
He emailed it to you.
When?
I emailed it to him with a copy of the transcript. Yeah. And the transcript that I obtained yesterday is now on the internet. So he must have gotten my thing and put the transcript of the hearing where you told him not to put this on the internet. He put the transcript is now officially on the internet.
And let me read you one, because I remember this hearing.
What is this? This whole thing back up.
Okay, this is fine.
Your Honor, I haven't had a chance to even review it.
But we bypass it when I can read it. Because it's I made the pronouncement. So
I don't get to make objections or comments on it?
Because I'm reading it. Okay, as long as I read it.
Okay.
The purpose of having you folks look at it is because you review it and then send it to me, and if it's not objected to, I sign it. But now I've actually read it. So if I make an oral pronouncement, I don't need anyone else to tell me whether the order is consistent with what I determine.
Okay.
And it is. So now this is an order. Okay. All I can say to everybody is I mean what I say in this order. All aspects of it.
I probably have too many copies, but...
Oh, I'm sorry, I got all the stuff.
Okay.
I'll stop when my hand falls off or when I run out of copies. Okay.
I'll distribute them and email the people that aren't here.
Okay.
Do you have the original?
Yes.
Okay. And then we have a hearing set for Thursday, which is 2 hours, on a motion to dismiss. It's a motion to dismiss the petition, but... there's no evidence going to be brought, but it's 2 hours. Can we use some of that time to address this continuation of the sale hearing? Because there is a big problem. He violated your order.
I don't know that he did.
I know.
Nothing said. You just see, here's the problem. You can't just tell me he violated the order.
I agree.
Just signed the order, okay? So, and I said it was effective as of the date of my oral pronouncement. If I have evidence that it's been violated, file a motion.
I'm just wondering if we set it for hearing. If you use any of the time that we have left over, since we have 2 hours of time that you've set aside.
Yeah, coordinate that with
we have my hearing.
We have four motions.
We have four things already scheduled.
Yeah, okay. So,
right.
All right, you have to talk to him about that. If not, get a separate hearing date.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you give us some, in your order, is there some timing for him to come forth with his appraisal evidence for where we're going to reset the hearing on the sale?
I don't get it, and I don't get a hearing before... April 20th, I think, was the day of the closing.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Have a nice day.
All right, fine. Give me an order from...
Yes,
all right,
sir.
So, Mr. Powell, because Elliot's pro se,
I'm
going to ask you to draft
right.
the order.
That's what I'll do.
Thanks, Brian. You'll give me a copy. Okay, great.
Here,
it's another hearing. Okay, so here, by the way, this is really important. You don't have to leave. I have three exhibits. They have to have markings on them. So... Mr. O'Connell, I don't care who you do this with, but I need those three exhibits stamped, with the case number and all that stuff.
Sure.
The clerks are really getting upset that this isn't done right.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go
ahead.
We're sitting
in
the back.
It's in the back of the
desk. Okay.
All right. So, here's your petition.
You got the next case set up?
So,
what's this
stuff on? Company,
what do we need? Thanks, Brian.
Yes, good morning, Your Honor. Stephen Lesney with Guster Yokley on behalf of the Hobbs & Trust Company of Delaware. We are here on an amended motion to terminate
straight?
Grand Children's Trust. Do you have a copy of the amended motion for me?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. The easiest way, I think, to go through this today is to give you a copy of the proposed order. I emailed this to Mr. Bernstein yesterday morning. The reason I think this makes sense to go through it this way is, number one, this
give another copy, a hard copy?
Yeah, I'll give him another hard copy, absolutely. This order goes through great detail of history of this case, about efforts to try to find a successor trustee, et cetera. And the second reason I think it makes sense is, historically, Mr. Bernstein and I have had difficulty agreeing on the terms of the order afterwards, so I figure this way, at the end of this hearing, for me to sign the order, or I give you a flash drive in case you want to make edits to the order. Or, Your Honor, may I present you with a flash drive?
Hold on.
Okay. So, starting with paragraph one, we point out that in 2010, Your Honor appointed Oppenheimer Trust Company as the successor trustee of the three grandchildren trust that are the subject of this action. Paragraph two, and this is the exhibit, we sent Mr. Bernstein a notice of resignation on April 22, 2014, asking him to appoint a successor trustee. We resigned effective May 26th, and in a later order, Your Honor, you confirmed that we, in fact, had resigned as of May 26th, 2014. Each of the grandchildren trust provides that we can resign, and that it is the duty of the beneficiaries to appoint a successor corporate trustee. And that, in paragraph four, talks about the Florida statute that just says the beneficiaries can do it, or the court can do it. Paragraph 6 requires the resigned trustee to deliver trust property to the successor trustee or other person appointed by the court, and provides that the resigned trustee has the duties of the trustee until the property is so delivered. In the paragraph 7, in the April 22 notice of resignation, we request that Elliot and Candace Bernstein, natural guardians, appoint or nominate a successor corporate trustee, and they failed to do so. So on June 13th, 2014, we filed the instant petition, and we requested in count 1 instructions regarding the delivery of the assets to the grandchildren of trustees be resolved. And we specifically asked this court to, quote, either appoint a successor trustee to whom Oppenheimer may deliver the trust property, or two, terminate the trust and permit Oppenheimer to deliver the trust property to Elliot and Candace Bernstein as the natural guardians of the beneficiaries. Paragraph 9. On November 7, you entered an omnibus order granting Oppenheimer's motion for summary judgment as to count 1. You ordered the Bernsteins to submit the name and proposed successor trustee to the court. Oppenheimer's counsel and the proposed successor trustee, and if they did not, you indicated you would consider other available options in light of Oppenheimer's resignation. The Bernsteins did not comply with the omnibus order, did not submit the name of a proposed successor trustee to any of us. Paragraph 11, at a status check hearing on February 26th, you again ordered the Bernsteins to designate a proposed successor corporate trustee. Paragraph 12, on February 26th, that same day, Mr. Bernstein provided the name of 3 proposed corporate trustees to Oppenheimer's counsel, me. I communicated with the three, Mr. Bernstein, he didn't provide me with a name, any contact names. He said that I was responsible for contacting them and transferring trusteeship to them, and he wished me good luck finding someone at the end of his email. So I proceeded to pick up the phone, contact these three trust companies. I filed a notice with the court with the results. I told them the reason for the call, that I was asked by the court to try to find a successor corporate trustee in light of Oppenheimer's resignation. I informed them the nature and value of the assets as set forth in the final accountings, and I asked if they would be interested in becoming successor trustee, and I reported that all 3 successor trust companies declined. Your Honor, paragraph 14, as of the date of this hearing, the Bernsteins have not identified any corporate trustee that has acknowledged that it is willing to serve as a successor trustee as required by the trust. Paragraph 15, it's our position that under the circumstances, you should see no alternative but to terminate the grandchildren trust and permit Oppenheimer to deliver the trust assets to the Bernsteins as the natural guardians. We also believe it's the best interest of the minor beneficiaries to do so. We had asked the court previously to appoint a guardian ad litem on decline, so other than the Bernsteins, really there's nowhere else for the money to go.
Don't feel the order yet.
Okay.
What do you take issue with any of the
Well, I take issue not just with the paragraphs, but the whole argument. If I have to go paragraph by paragraph, I'm just getting this.
Which one do you take issue
with? Okay. I take issue with the fact that we have a new trustee. Oh, I got to go by the paragraphs or my issues?
Because that's
what
I'm being
asked.
That's
how
it
functions.
Oh, this is the new one?
Yeah, I need the new one. I think that's where you're going. The amended one? What's for you on?
No, the order. The order we gave you.
Order. Oh, okay. Well, I got to do this right now with no time to even look at this thing, and I've got to object.
I'm going through it my same way. There's not.
I need time to talk to people and figure out what's going on. But okay, I'll take a look. Let me. Okay. Okay. Do I dispute this stuff?
If you say that it's not accurate, yeah.
Okay.
What number do you want me to look at that you think is not?
It's going
to
take me a minute. Well, first thing I'm going to take issue with is, number one, that these trusts, as you've come to see in the previous hearings, are missing signature pages and aren't properly executed.
Yeah, but that says that I ordered something.
Okay, but you just ordered them to be trustee, not to operate trusts that are legally non-existent.
I appointed them as a successor trustee of the trust. I did that.
Okay, but you appointed them as the trustee of the trust, but the trust documents they actually are operating under are not executed.
Then under your version, I appointed them trustee of a trust that doesn't really exist. Well,
correct.
I did that.
So that's okay. So what?
All right, so I did it.
Right, but you didn't even get the copies of the trust to look at. Right. So you just got documents from Mr. Spallina and Tesher.
Mr. Bernstein.
Okay.
It doesn't matter because...
Okay.
Because here's the bottom line. Can I tell you, this is an easy one. Okay. No, let me tell you what's easy. They are, I ordered them to be trustees.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be. They want to resign, and they have resigned.
Okay.
Okay, that's clear, correct? They've resigned.
Absolutely.
Okay. When they resign, something takes place. Standard. We get a successor, okay? That's in all cases. They may have resigned from a non-existent trust, but who cares, because they just don't want to be the trustee by my order that said, you're trustee of something.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they want out. And so the next step is, when they resign, okay, which they've done, I've entered a series of orders to get a successor, and the key thing here is, do we have a successor corporate trustee?
Not a corporate, but here's what's happened. Because, as you just heard in the last hearing, they drain these funds to nothing. First,
it is what it is.
Okay,
my
okay.
Question is,
okay,
is
yes.
There a corporate trustee?
We have a trustee who's a lawyer. Who's,
successor corporate trustee.
Well, we're going to have to amend that because they've left the trust in a state that they can't get a corporate trustee because they bled it out of all the money. But there's assets inside these trusts that we don't want these trusts terminated at all. We have
the trust that you say don't exist.
The trust that we do with, well, that's part of the issues that the trustee, new trustee, would be coming in and addressing and filing loss. What?
The corporate trustee.
Well, okay, we're going to have to amend that because
what?
The corporate trustee issue in the trust. Well, first of all, the first question we're going to have is the trust valid? Is the language in there real?
No, I disagree with you. That's not the first question. That's not a question at all for this year.
Well, you're saying corporate trustee because it says so in a trust that's not valid and legally binding.
Okay, but they want to, right, but it doesn't matter because they haven't determined that, and it doesn't really matter because they want off of whatever it is.
Okay, well, in your first order, you ordered me to find a trustee.
A corporate trustee.
No.
Okay,
in the first order.
Restriction on corporate, so
okay. And
now that I know that.
Okay, but there's a problem getting a corporate trustee
okay, so
now.
You can't get one.
I can get a trustee, and I'd like that to happen, not a corporate.
Okay.
But I'd like you to make a ruling that a legally qualified lawyer can act as the trustee. Here's her letter. Can I submit this to you?
Okay, I'll look at it.
Okay.
Where's the... Give me that. Hand it to him. They see you move up, they'll rush up.
Yeah. That's why I didn't. And Mr. Lesting, sorry for interrupting. Did you have that letter where he's talking to Joanne? I'm just getting the documents the other day.
Okay, all right, I see the letter.
Okay, and Mr. Lesting's been talking to her, Your Honor, and getting her the documents so she could determine if she wants to be trustee, have her...
Right, so let me ask you this, Mr. Lesney. Notwithstanding that...
Joanne.
That she is apparently considering being a successor trustee, from Oppenheimer's point of view, what is your position if she does say, yes, I accept?
Okay, well, first of all, she hasn't, Your Honor. From our standpoint, we really don't care. I do believe, as an officer of the court, I'm going to bring a few things to your attention. According to the Illinois Bar, Ms. Venison is about to begin a 3-year suspension from practicing law because she made false statements concerning the integrity of judges, knowing they were false, or reckless disregard for their truth or falsity, and engaged in dishonest conduct and conduct prejudicial administration of justice. The reporting, the examining board found that given the seriousness of her conduct and aggregating factors, including her conduct in the disciplinary proceedings, the hearing board recommended that she be suspended for 3 years and until further order of court. They declined to recommend disbarment given some mitigating factors at the present. Similarly, Your Honor, the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. I'll give you the entire thing that I've written for the synopsis. The United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit recently reprimanded Ms. Dennison for engaging in serial
frivolous litigation and appeals. The court considered initiating sanctions on its own and warned Ms. Benison on page 2 that they cannot move their campaign of vilification from the internet to the courthouse and expect the judiciary to be unconcerned. Denison has already filed and lost a second suit related to these events, the court related to that. So this, you know, I don't know whether it says, what I know what it says about Ms. Denison. I don't know what it says that Mr. Bernstein wants this person to be his children's trustee of a trust that doesn't exist.
As an aside, okay, so Mr. Bernstein.
I have two people. One, Candace Schwager, who will, we've been looking at who's going to represent the kids and who's going to represent the trust. So it could go either way. I don't care. I'll hire Ms. Denison.
Slow down.
Right.
I mean, I'm skimming these documents.
Okay.
Okay. So you, this is an important question for you and your wife. Knowing what you might now know, I don't know if you knew this before, about this attorney, okay?
Yeah.
Is this someone that you want to be in the position? You do. And you want me to consider that?
I do. She's actually fighting corruption in the courts, and it's brutal to go up against judges.
She's being suspended, though, by her bar association.
Well, she may. We can't say that.
Okay, but look, I'm not. This is 31 pages, but I saw the conclusion here, which is recommending suspension to the Supreme Court, and this just came out, I think, right? I mean, it came out in November. What's happened since then, you know?
My understanding is the Supreme Court has not considered it yet. So unless the Supreme Court overrules and denies the important recommendations, that will be the that is the recommendation of the disciplinary committee.
Right.
That's what it is. But there were findings made, and then the Seventh Circuit also made findings.
See, your agenda is really different than mine. You're looking maybe for someone who is, as the Seventh Circuit said, is going to launch a crusade, okay, including through the blogging system. That's not what I'm interested in behalf of your children, because this is a trustee in behalf of your children, not you. And you're the natural guardians of them. They have a guardian ad litem appointed to speak for your children as opposed to you and your wife, which I decline because, as natural parents, up to this moment, I thought that you had your children's best interest in mind. Now I don't.
All right.
So I can replace you from having standing in this matter in a minute by having a guardian ad litem take your place who will read this and see whether they share your view that the person that I want as trustee for my children is someone. I don't have your deal with corruption in the courts. That's your interest. That's not the interest of a trustee. A trustee does not have that interest. So,
well, a trustee has the interest of fraud in the trust.
Okay.
So where there's missing signature pages, I think we got to deal with the fact that we've got people operating trusts where they're not legally executed documents that you've witnessed. That's fraud, Your Honor. You need to do something about that.
Okay, sorry, here's what I need to do. I need to tell you to sit down now, and you just insulted me, and I don't want you to do that anymore. So I got to get these recordings proceeded because, Mr. Bernstein, you face me having an order barring you from participating. That's an insult. You don't do that again. It is.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You don't challenge me. I've warned you about that. You know, I give you, you're pro se. I've given you a lot of leeway here. You're starting to behave inappropriate. Okay, I'm going to slam the door on you and slam it so shut that valid claims that you may have are not going to go forward because you're jerky to this situation. You're going to hurt your family because you've got this, some visions. Line. We all operate with that line. The line is, if there's wrongdoing, we'll deal with it in an appropriate manner. You don't want to have that. You want to deal with it your own way, including scorched earthing. If you insult me, you're done, and you're on that verge. So I cut you off before you can go forward. Don't tell me I need to do something. That's not the role of a judge, and that's not the role of you to tell me that, okay? So, you know, you're really heading in the wrong direction, and you're messing with the wrong judge. All right, because I don't care about blogs. Send your troops, okay? It's happened before. It doesn't bother me. Okay, I'm still here, and I'm still going to do my job. Okay, and I'm going to remove you from the process. And what's foolish about that is you may have some valid claims. You may be hitting the nail on the head, but you're so and you're so caught up in the total picture of everybody being involved in fraud that you can't articulate proper things. But this is a courtroom, it's not a barn. So I give you a chance to be heard. The lawyers probably think I bend over far too backwards for you. And maybe I do, but you're pro se, and I don't want to close off your valid arguments, but you're going to close it off. And I'm going to write an order that says that the claims that are valid are closed off because of Elliot Bernstein. And you can look at that for the rest of your life and realize you caused that to happen. Okay? We're a millisecond away from that. Okay? Because I don't like being insulted by you.
All right. I apologize.
So, I mean, I'm...
Your Honor?
I'm worried about the fact that the person you're choosing, okay, has this stuff. You like this, and it worries me. So you and I look upon this totally different. Okay, for children, if you were looking out for their interest, this wouldn't be the person that you want. You might want a corporate trustee. Remember, they're trustees. They're not the lawyers then who hire the lawyer or be the lawyer themselves, who will go after valid stuff. Read this stuff. This is not, there's nothing valid that the court's talking about dealing with the tactics of this lawyer. This is all invalid stuff. This is stuff that the bar and judges, I mean, this is the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. This is big time people are saying she's engaged in wrongful conduct in the course of what you want her to do.
Okay, there's another trustee. We were looking at her either way,
yeah.
Trustee or counsel. She'll be our counsel, which is fine. And as trustee, we have another lawyer, Candace Swagger. I can now...
Where's she from?
Texas. It's very hard for me to find lawyers here. I'm suing the bar. I'm suing this courthouse. I'm suing a bunch of judges. So, I'm pretty shut down. I've been to... I think 100 law firms trying to get counsel for my kids.
Right now we're talking about a successor trustee to Oppenheimer under your father's trust. That's not an exotic thing, but if you can't find someone, they want the trust to be collapsed. That's the legal remedy.
Well, there's property in there that was protected under this trust.
Say it again?
We don't want it out of the trust. It would put the house at risk. It would, but there's still on account my house that my
house
kids.
Owned by the trust?
Yes.
Is that what you're going to? So what are you going to do with the house?
The trust owns three things. It owns a small amount of cash. It owns the three trusts collectively own 100% of Bernstein Family Realty LLC, which is the entity that owns the house that the Bernsteins live in.
Okay.
So and their stock.
What are you going to do with the member?
We are going to transfer. That asset and also the shares that the trusts hold in LIC Holdings, which I think they each own 1.33%, so a total of about 4%. LIC. So we're going to transfer that in kind. So Mr. Bernstein would then own Bernstein Family Realty, which owns his house.
You are now more directly the owner of the house than now.
My dad never wanted me to be the owner. That's why it's in the kids' names and protected inside this trust.
You're not the legal owner, but you're the entity because they're children. So this is a trust that you own the shares, and they are the because they can't own them because you're the adult.
No, the trust owns
it. It's a company that owns the house.
Right.
So
instead of a trust owning the house, you and your wife will own the company that owns the house.
And we don't.
Instead of the trust on the company, Mr. Bernstein will own the company.
Well, we'd like time and a continuance on this because we want to explore what this is going to cause us. This is all being dumped on us. My dad did not set these trusts up for this to happen. And for it to be, and plus, we're trying to get the money back into the trust because they're college trust funds so that this trust that was is part of these complex estate plans he put together.
But I have no one to manage the trust.
Well, listen, here's the problem. Can I say what the problem is with his pleading here? Okay, you made an order that said Elliot contact these corporate trustees and have them call Mr. Lesney. I called Mr. Lesney just to get the basic trust documents completed. Because the first thing, when I sent documents to potential trustees, non-corporate at the time, because your order wasn't, the first thing they said is, hey, Elliot, can we get some legal binding trust that you want us to operate under? I contacted Mr. Lesney. We got to go through a ping pong match to find out that he doesn't have what they've been promising me, fully executed documents. They've been saying this all along. Now, that, then you said, oh, then he, we couldn't get a trustee on that thing to look at it. So we came back here, and I explained to you there was a problem. Then we got to the, give him three names of three corporate trustees. I went, got three corporate trustees, and only to find out that Mr. Lesney, including to Joanne, contacted all of them and said, nothing here, you're wasting your time, these trusts are garbage, there's no assets, have a nice day, you really don't want to get involved in this. That's how we let Mr. Lesney go try to get corporate trustees, to the fact that we called the corporate trustees after he called them, and all of them said the same thing. The guy just called us and told us it's, he's just performing some court function and has, doesn't think anybody will take these trusts. Now, that's how he's selling to get a corporate trustee, not saying, hey, these trusts might have money coming back from the estates or whoever did wrong. They've got claims against us, a counter complaint involving these trustees and the trustees, all that. And, you know, we're trying to preserve these trusts because they're part of a complicated plan to protect my family through trusts and all that. We do not want the house in our names like that. That's why my dad set this stuff up. So what we're asking for is a little time to get a trustee of some sort, now that we, where Mr. Lesney's involvement is in, and notice if I find people, I can find people. But Mr. Lesney's involvement is not necessary.
Do you have physical possession of the documents that the successor trustees are seeking to review?
Do I have physical possession?
Yeah, you tell me that.
Oh, he just gave them to her on Saturday or something.
Do you have them?
I don't have the executed documents, no.
Okay, let me ask this because I can't get a straight answer from you.
I must. Okay.
So,
sorry.
The trusts have asked for copies of documents so they can decide whether to be trustee or not?
No. Okay. Ms. Dennison?
Yes.
Ms. Dennison asked me to supply her with a whole series of documents. I did.
Okay.
She said she was going to get back to me within a day to let me know. First, Mr. Bernstein says she was going to be trustee. She wrote back to me the other day saying, no, she wants to be Mr. Bernstein's counsel. She's looking for local counsel to support her. So, and I have all the email correspondence in case this came up today. I'm still unclear whether she wants to be trustee or counsel.
Right.
So I supplied her with everything. Okay. In addition, in the last accounting hearing, Your Honor, I gave Mr. Bernstein over 3,000 pages of all the backup document he requested.
So you said to purported counsel, Ms. Dennison, okay, let me back up. The three corporate trustees that have declined.
Yes.
Did they ever request documents to review?
No. What I did, and again, Mr. Bernstein sent me the names of these three counsel. I said, do you have contact people? He said, no. He said, good luck finding someone.
Right. You said that.
I called the companies. I said, I'm calling to try to find someone to act as a corporate trustee. People called me back. I said, here's the thing. I represent Oppenheimer Trust Company. We have resigned. The court has asked that we try to find a successor corporate trustee. I'd like to tell you about the nature and value of the assets of the trust. I went through the final accounting. I said the trust has such and such in cash. They own this much of LSE Holdings. They own this much of Bernstein Family Realty, which owns the house. And that's the nature and extent of the assets. Are you interested in taking over? Do you have any questions?
They didn't ask for documents.
They didn't ask for any documents. They said,
okay.
Not so interested.
The documents that you would want are copies of the trust and the accounting?
Executed copies of the trust would be good.
Okay, but maybe they don't have them. We'll accept unexecuted. But the trust and a copy of the accounting, those are available?
Yes, Your Honor. They've been provided to him multiple times.
You have them?
And the backup documentation for the accountants.
Okay. She said he sent them.
I got all that the day before the accounting hearing.
Okay. How long ago was that?
Just last week.
Okay.
No, it's not.
7 days ago, and there's thousands of pages. I haven't even gone through it with all these hearings.
All right, so here's how we're doing this. This is easy. Your Honor, if I speak a brief comment.
Well, go ahead. I'll just speak briefly, and then I'm going to.
Okay. Again, my client's interest is in, you know, we resign, we need to get, you know, transferred to somebody. However, you know, given the type of person that the Bernstein seem to be looking for to act as a successor, as an officer of the court, I would ask Your Honor to once again reconsider appointing a guardian ad litem to act for the kids in these proceedings, because these things, they're not doing what's in the best interest of their kids. We're already going to have to hold back a reserve to pay for the accounting that was necessary in all these accounting proceedings, and these things are getting more and more expensive.
But so is the cost of the guardian. Who will then hire a lawyer?
Well, if I may propose...
Your Honor, I'm seeking time to get a counsel.
If I may propose, Your Honor has...
No, you want counsel. You want a trustee.
No, I'm working on both. Meaning I
don't care about a counsel right now.
Oh, okay. I'll have the trustee in a minute.
Corporate trustee, then they'll hire their own lawyer if they need one.
Oh, no, but I'm saying they're counsel for the children. So the children who are supposed to...
No, there's no counsel. It's a guardian ad litem for the children, not counsel.
No.
And I don't want you doing that.
Well, I already hired counsel for the children, meaning that's what I'm doing.
You can do that. Who's that? Who you hired?
Well, I'm working between two lawyers. One, we figured if you had a problem with Joanne's background.
But you don't have a problem. This one's amazing. You don't have a problem.
Well, because you know what? We're very involved in guardian cases that there's been allegations of court corruption. She has been a vocal advocate.
She's being suspended.
Okay, I get that. What?
I mean, you have an appellate court chiding her for improper. They're not saying, hey, we appreciate your efforts, you're doing a great job. That's not what this is about. I mean, look at what they're doing. They're saying, you know, we now have looked at your efforts, they're in violation of the rules of the Florida Bar, and the court saying you're
Illinois.
Bad news. I mean, Illinois Bar. That's significant. I mean, you know, for your children, you know, is that the person that you want handling this stuff for your children? What did you say, Candace? Yes?
I said, you know, I think we need some more time to find another trustee if you don't approve of her.
Right, well, here's what I'm going to do. So hold on. I understand what you want. I'm going to defer on the request for the guardian. Okay, so today is, this is really easy for me, the 31st. Okay. By April 7th.
Write this down.
Okay, I'm holding on your order. Okay. I get a copy of a filed notice of successor corporate trustee with the acceptance and the oaths and all that stuff that they have to file.
Could it not be a corporate, since that's going to be impossible?
Say again?
Well, a corporate's going to be very difficult with no money in it.
That's what the trust...
How about a lawyer? I know, but we're asking for an exception because they bled all the money out of the trust so that it can't get counsel or a trustee. They can't even get a successor.
Okay, well, it may be that there is no corporate trustee who wants to do this, whether we wait a week or a month or a year.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. So
I agree with Mr. Burton. This is a fool's errand to try to get a successor corporate trustee, so I'm not sure why we're waiting.
Well, because Candace just said she wanted additional time to get a corporate trustee. I just heard her say that. True?
And there's assets in there that he doesn't even know the value of the assets. One's a company with like 12 companies under it.
So, Elliot, you have what documents got sent to the lawyer in Illinois.
Right.
Okay, so you can contact potential corporate trustees, say to them what you want to say, tell them what you want to tell them, see if you can get someone to sign on.
I did after him. A corporate's going to be virtually impossible, I think.
Right.
So I'd like the court to take a look at the trust, knowing that that was supposed to be the succession, knowing that Oppenheimer ran these accounts to the ground.
I don't know. See, okay, no, I don't know anything about that.
Through that. I mean, they bled these trusts to zero value and then sprung on us when we were supposed to get all that money back, according to them, that suddenly there's no money here for a corporate trustee to come in. He's suggesting to people don't come in, there's no money. I agree. So the question is, can we now adjust that in light of those facts?
If they can't find the corporate trustee but can find an individual, not
qualified.
This person, a qualified individual to be the individual. sole trustee. What's your position on that?
Your Honor, this we've been asking them to do that since April 2014. If they had been either looking for or have found a, as you say, responsible, qualified successor trustee, we would have said no problem.
Okay.
But right. they haven't looked for one.
Okay,
the people
right.
that
so here's what I'm going to do. Listen. Okay. So, Elliot, an Illinois person with that problem is the biggest red flag you could ever have. No one would name that person as a trustee now. Okay. I'll consider if you can't get a corporate trustee and you get someone to serve as an individual trustee who has the qualifications of a trustee under the statute, okay, not someone from Texas or Illinois or mm-hmm. Chicago, but someone here in Florida who might be familiar with Florida rules on how to be a trustee, then I'll consider that, an individual. Okay, I'll consider doing that.
Could it be from out of Florida?
Can it, I don't want someone out of Florida, because you're going to have to come here and hire people here and all that stuff. That just doesn't work. Okay.
Well, I have trouble, as I explained, with Florida.
Okay. So Florida's a big state.
It's a big state, and I've got some big issues with big people in this
See,
state.
I don't have those issues.
But I do.
Okay, but those are not, your children don't have those issues.
Well, they.
And if you say they do, then I knock you out of being the guardian of them today. If you're going to keep that position, this is a narrow issue. Okay, you're the spokespeople for your children in a responsible legal way. The children, a guardian would clearly not have the same interest as you. Okay, you have broader interests. I'm not stopping you from dealing with that, but you're combining your children in your fray, and that's not proper.
My question is simply, if it's a qualified trustee, where does it matter where they're from? If you accept them and say, oh, okay, there's not bar complaints.
Okay. All right, well, you know what?
Because I do have other people, and that'll be very easy for me to get them to you quickly. And I don't have to go through a lot of search.
Let's see by next Tuesday. Come back here at 8:45. I'm going to bring the order back in. The only question I have in the order is I've got to get you out of here. Let me look at this. Okay, you have here reserving jurisdiction on Oppenheimer's petition, the Bernstein's answer. But the Bernstein's answer includes a counter petition, correct?
The counter petition is stated.
But
it was filed as a separate document.
Right, but I'm not adjudicating. There's a danger that in the order, there's no reservation of jurisdiction concerning the counter petition I've stated, but I haven't dismissed it.
Okay, well, that's why I brought you a flash drive in case you wanted to make a change.
That's the only change that I want. So bring me back this order next Tuesday.
Okay, so do you want it to provide that you reserve jurisdiction for the counterclaim, or that it remains stayed?
Well, it's still stayed. Okay. I mean, I'll lift the stay at some point that's appropriate, and then if Elliot wants to pursue the counterclaim, that's the vehicle by which he's bringing his claims against Oppenheimer. So I'm not adjudicating those claims. So your claims are still alive against Oppenheimer.
Okay, and just, Your Honor, I never got to finish making my observation. My observation about either appointing a successor, a guardian ad litem, or a successor trustee is, Your Honor has smart, honest lawyers that you trust that come before you every day.
But I'm not picking one, because I don't want that person to hate me for the rest of their lives.
Well, but
okay. Okay, don't ask me to. I don't really like picking. I pick names out of a hat once in a while. But I've stopped doing that because then it's, well, now, you know, Judge, you know them, you pick them, and so you're now, you know, somewhere around with them. Okay. They're not doing
so, that. So just housekeeping matters, you want me to set a notice of hearing for next Tuesday, 8:45, on motion for entry of order. Okay, and as another housekeeping matter, Your Honor, we began the hearing on Mr. Bernstein's objections to Oppenheimer's final accountings on March 17th. It was rescheduled, but then Your Honor had a trial. I proposed 6 dates to Mr. Bernstein, 3 in April, 3 in May, 2 dates in business. 2 dates in April, he said he was busy, wouldn't tell me why. On April 23rd, he said he's got another hearing here, and then he's busy afterwards. And then 3 dates in May, he's never gotten back to me at all. So I have an order setting a continuation of the hearing.
We told you May 10th was fine. And we told you we were seeking counsel, and you've been talking to her after that.
May 10th is not one of the dates provided by the court.
Or May 8th, whatever it was.
Was it? I'm just asking for an order setting this hearing so we can get this thing moved.
We agreed to one of the dates, Your Honor.
What date was it?
I think it was the 8th or 10th of May he proposed.
The date's proposed by the court, and I'm not sure they're available anymore because it's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, they may not be.
Okay, April 6th at 1:30?
Hold on.
And you would ask for a two-hour hearing. I'm not sure that's...
On the other dates, I'm busy.
No, we're here April 7th.
Say again?
We can't do it then. Can we do the May 8th we agreed to with the guy?
Hold on. April 6th is bad?
Yes.
Yes.
Because we're here Tuesday and we have to do these trustee issues.
You're not here on April 7th.
Didn't you just schedule
that? Well, whatever our reasons, we gave him our reasons from our calendar.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I don't have my calendar here. Well, I didn't give you reasons because I don't owe you.
You said that you're here before me on April 7th. You're not looking at my calendar.
You just scheduled it for us to be here at 8:45 on April 7th.
That's 8:45 for a status on this. That's not a hearing. That's just a status on the order.
Okay.
Okay, so so why can't I do the remainder of the accounting in the afternoon of the 6th? You know what's going on that day? I mean, I have it open, so now you're trying to accommodate.
Well, can we call? We don't have our calendar. She's got a big calendar with kids and things, and everybody's got after school.
So give me some day. April 6th is one that I still have available. Go ahead.
May 8th, the day we agreed to with them.
The dates were given by the court were April 6th at 1:30, April 10th at 3 o'clock.
We've told him we were busy on these days.
Okay.
Can't do it. Take it. Stop. I'm asking you. I'm asking him. Go.
April 10th, 3:30, 3 o'clock. April 23rd at 2:30.
Hold on.
We're hearing that day, aren't we?
Nope, can't do it.
Okay. April 8th.
Well, you were already before me that day at 10 o'clock.
Right.
For the removal hearing. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
May 8th at 10 a.m. May
13th
at 10 a.m.
Oh, was that one of the dates you gave us?
And May 15th at 1:30 p.m.
I think we could do that.
Okay.
So
these things don't last long.
I understand.
Okay. May 15th?
Right, so here's what I want you to do. You'll call my office and tell Sherry whether April 6th at 1:30 is okay. All right. If it's not... I'm going to look at a date. How much time do we need to finish this?
I suggest we do at least 3 hours. With 1 hour, we got through seven out of the 6 hours.
Okay, and then I'm just going to think, here's the thing, Elliot, here's what happens. I pick a date then, okay? Here's what I said. If you're away from the area on vacation, okay, I'll have Sherry get on the phone with the two of you, okay? She'll pick another date if the 6th is not available. Here's the excuses. I'm on vacation, I'm in trial, I have an operation. Other than that, you come. The date that she gives you. But you can't argue with her.
Okay, was May 15th good for everyone?
No, I have a hearing.
Oh.
May 15th?
Do you have anything around between May 10th and May 15th? We're good for that. Meaning we just told them, you know, I don't want to start breaking up my kids' stuff and nonsense. Is it that big of a rush?
May 11th is bad. I have trial. May 12th, trials. May 13th trial,
yeah.
May 14th trial, May 15th trial. I mean, it's gone. Yeah, this
16th?
Saturday.
Okay, no, the next week, anything open?
I have time on May 18th. I'm looking at it.
Okay, let's do that.
You want to do that? May 18th.
Are we good on that thing?
That's fine. I'm sure you're all right.
All right, so let's do something. May 18th, I'll give you the afternoon.
This is the hearing.
Okay,
thank you, sir.
Sorry, May 18th at 1:30, correct?
The 18th.
The
19th is graduation.
Oh, 19th.
Is high school graduation.
Graduation.
It's the 19th.
What day is that? What time? Is
May 19th.
What time?
At 4 at
well,
the...
I could do it starting at 9:30.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so...
The day is open. It's the only day...
Okay, that's fine.
So May 19th at 9:30 for 3.5 hours.
I'll give you 2.5 hours. I'll go for lunch.
May 19th at 9:30?
And Tuesday, we've agreed as long as it's a qualified.
Yeah,
person.
You should have known in advance, you're going to be ready, show the documents, and I'll provide what to do.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're getting out, though, like you said. I'm ready to resign. They resigned.
They resigned already.
I know, but I want a successor because something, they just can't keep on holding on to whatever there is.
Well, can we put it in the clerk's registry?
I allow your counterclaim to continue, and we're doing the accounting objection, so, but you're missing the point, and then I'm going to stop talking to you.
Okay.
All of your claims you should preserve, I'm just making some nice legal steps.
I just didn't want to end the trusts.
Okay. I understand that.
My dad set these up for a reason.
It's okay, if you can't get a trustee, you can't keep a trust.
No, I know.
All right, okay, just bring it.
What?
You know, we hope this could be in order. Hold it in order.
Thank you, as always. Did you get the Rose order?
They're saying that if they don't do it by 7, then you will do something. Well, you're going to come back. I don't need another order. I'm not going to do it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, fine. I guess from my next year,
he'll
give you
a copy. Do I get a copy of that?
Yeah, just give me.
Sorry, getting one from last year.
Did you get a copy of the other order from Rose? Jay, Your Honor, do you have a copy of the other order you issued, Jay? I think he left. Oh, is that the only other one?
Yeah.
I thought you, okay.
And then the order due next Tuesday is for, okay.
No, the one you signed for Rose.
Oh, I gave that, I stamped it and I gave that away.
Okay. We didn't
get
it.
I think I'll check it. Jake? Hey.
What do you want to be up to wait for Brian?
Lunch. No, I gotta take them lunch.
Oh.
Okay, I'm just leaving.
Do you have these orders,
right? Huh? Yes.
You do?
I think so. Did you give us those orders?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just walking out of the courtroom right now, so you gotta give me a second. Is there any? Okay, what time does lunch end? Okay. All right. Okay, I'll hurry. Goodbye.
Yeah, so they basically got a bad day in court. I took a little harm on that.
Okay.
Yours too. Did you turn yours off? What?